Sunday mornings at Yellowknife Vineyard.
There's a confirmation of what God is going to, what's placed upon my heart that I'm going to speak about. Because there's always that little bit of, you know, reservation, like, really, God, do you want me to speak about this? Is it really you? And then every single time, there's unfailingly, God confirms, like, that is it. And I'm saying that because my brother just gave a summary before they sang the last song, A Good, Good Father. He gave the summary of the message. So I don't know if it's even needed because I was like, why is he preaching my message, right? There was no coordination, by the way. We didn't speak about it. And God just inspired and confirmed that, you know, we are in the same line. So thank you very much for that discernment and listening to God. It's always very, very encouraging because then I know I'm in the right track. Amen? And so this morning, very briefly, maybe in the next 3 hours or so, we're going to talk. I know there's no hockey today, so you have no reason. Super Bowl was last week. So it's okay for us to spend a few hours in the presence of God, right? He is good after all. And some of you are looking at me like, oh my goodness, it's the last time I'm coming to church. And I assure you, Pastor Melt, I hope he doesn't have a regret for leaving me in charge to preach today. But I'll try to be as brief as possible and cut it to 2.5 hours. So, briefly, I'm going to talk to you about understanding the concept of God as the Father. You know, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, I shared with Jabin that my desire to speak around this subject, the fatherhood, and what that means for Christians, what that means for the world, what's happening in the world. So with his permission, he provided me the work that he did as a fulfillment for his master's program, one of his major assignments. So I've taken it, you know, with great liberty to freely use his material, and I'll quote from it directly, because in that material, he actually had everything that I was going to talk about. So without taking all the credit, I've given Jabin the credit, so if you listen to some of the words and they sound like Jabin, that's Jabin speaking through me. He's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is still going to speak through me. You know, there's a few of us here, and if we were to poll, you know, take a poll here, we'll find that we're all raised very differently. Some of us were raised by grandparents, single parents, blended families, a nuclear family, as it would be described, aunties, uncles. Some of us were even raised by our own siblings. All our different upbringings shape our concept of father. The differences in culture and indeed religion have also had a tremendous impact on the construct of father and fatherhood. So allow me a few moments to share with you and speak about God as a father. Throughout scripture, and Jesus Christ referred to God as a father several times, hundreds of times in the Gospels we read Jesus referring to God the Father. And even before that, in the Old Testament, we read God the Father. So who is this God the Father? Why is this discussion so important? It's so important because our construct of Father has a tremendous impact on how we build a relationship with our Heavenly Father. As a general broad definition, and again, quoting from Jabin's work, fatherhood is understood as a position of power over one's biological or adopted children, which is justified by the provision, protection, and disciplinary role inherent in the conceptualization of father. From this definition, a family that constructs fatherhood in this manner might experience many benefits of such a presence. The opposite, however, is also true. Past narratives of traumatized families indicate that abuse of such patriarchal power can result in devastation, often perpetuated by generations that follow. Why is the discussion on fatherhood so important? It does shape our relationship with our Heavenly Father. You know, here are some of the roles and definition through the work that Jabin did, and you know, when he was interviewing some people to cover this case study, they defined fatherhood as follows. Fatherhood to me means being a provider, being someone that loves my family, and is an example for my son through what I do in my life and how I live my life. For me right now, it means a father, ensuring that my relationship with my three daughters, my adopted daughter and adopted son, are everything that they can possibly be. I also try to teach them their self-worth early in life, so they have the confidence later on knowing who they are in God. From these examples of different men that were interviewed, were, you know, poured by Jabin through his work, we see that fathers launch us into the world. Fathers have a tremendous impact on who we become. We can easily miss the mark for which we've been purposed because of ineffective fatherhood, ineffective fathers. Now, because we live in a fallen world, our concept of fatherhood can be distorted, and that can impact the relationship we have with our Heavenly Father. See, the enemy is serious at work, and hard at work for that matter, to distort our image of father and fatherhood. He does that by hurting our relationship with our earthly fathers. We see, you know, parents, our fathers pitted against sons and against daughters, and even the world has tried to change the concept and change the understanding of what fatherhood is. The emasculation of men is alive and well. Why is that so important? It's so important because it does impact the image, how we view God, and the relationship we build with our Father. See, the fathers are accountable before God to lead his family with sacrificial love. Because that's the example that we see. And some of us here, we, as my brother said, we might have had very, very good father. Some of us might not have had very good fathers. But the purpose of a father is to demonstrate that love of God, is to show what it means to have the leadership of God. That's why Jesus, as I said, repeatedly, hundreds of times, over 100 times, almost close to 200 or so times throughout the gospel, speaks about God the Father. Now you ask yourselves, well, my father was this, my father was that. Does that matter? It matters to an extent, but I'm here to tell you why it shouldn't really matter. Because you have a very good, good father. You have a very good, good father. You see, inherent in each and every one of us is the craving of approval from our fathers. Watch and observe children very carefully. They want that approval. It's inherent in us. And that approval provides a stepping stone on which we grow into who God has called us into being. And this is not disregarding the work that mothers do in our lives. There is a place that mothers play, a very important role that they play. We shouldn't negate that. We shouldn't forget that. But a father plays a very key role. And we need to get back to that understanding of the father and fatherhood, what it means for us, what it means for our children, what it means for the next generations. Let's not distort the concept of fatherhood. Make no mistake, the enemy is working very, very hard to distort that, to redefine what it means to be father. Because once we have that you know, redefining, we also redefine who our Heavenly Father is. And our relationship is equally impacted. And we start inserting words and terminologies in the Bible to justify the prevailing culture. I'm here to say we don't need to do that. You see, no matter how we try to deny it, there is a place for a fatherly love. And when that fatherly love is absent, there is a gap that is created. And we seek to create that gap. And sometimes we fill it with all sorts of different things. Some of us have been so privileged that, you know, those gaps were filled by uncles, maybe grandfather, maybe a coach, maybe a teacher. But the gap still exists. There's no material things that can fill that gap. Because God in his divine wisdom created and placed the importance of fathers. If you look through the Bible, there's a blessing from the father. The blessings never came from the mother. It came from the father. The father proclaimed the blessings upon his children. And not just for that child, but for the generation and generation and generation thereafter. I'm not here to say, you know, as I said, we negate the role mothers play. No, no, no. It's to reemphasize what fatherhood is and what that means as we view our Heavenly Father. Who is this Father in heaven that we speak of? You see, we live in a fallen world. Because we live in a fallen world, we've got imperfection. And fatherhood has not been immune from that. That means we've got evil fathers, abusive fathers, that have also missed the mark. But the good news is that our Father in heaven has no evil. Our Father in heaven, he is perfect. He is no way like our earthly fathers. He is very good. In every sense of the word, in every definition, he is good and perfect. And because he's good and perfect, we can have that confidence and approach him with confidence that whatever he has in store for us is nothing but good. Matthew 7:11 says, "If you then, though you are evil," because we live in a fallen world, yes, we do have evil in us, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" So here the Bible is telling us that we should approach our Heavenly Father and ask him that which we desire, that which we need, that which we want. I'm not saying like everything is going to come through, because sometimes, you know, when you ask God and because he's the Father, he tells, no, this is might not be very good for you. Or maybe the time is not right because you are not ready. You know, those of you that are parents, how many times has your child come to you and ask you, you know, for pop or whatever meal that you know that if they continue to eat excess of that, it's not going to be good for them. So what do? You protect them if you are a good parent. If you place a hot iron on the floor, yes, that iron has got good things that it can iron, it can straighten your clothes. But if it's hot and your child is going towards that, do you let your child continue to walk towards that? You leap to your feet and grab the child from that because you love your child. You want to protect them. Maybe they might feel at that point like you are the worst parent in the world. That's okay. When they have their own children, they will remember you. And they will say, oh, this is now I understand why mom, why dad did what they did. Jesus Christ encourages us and reminds us repeatedly that we have a perfect, good Father. We often limit our understanding of God, the Father, to the understanding of our earthly fathers. That's why this discussion is very important. because it can cause us to limit our understanding of who our Heavenly Father is. Our Heavenly Father is limitless in His love. I mean, there's no perfect example where He sacrificed His own begotten Son to come and die for us so that we can be redeemed, so that we can be restored, we can have that relationship with Him, and we can have the right to be called His children. For them that have received Him, the same He gave them power to become His children. And that right for us to claim God our Father was restored by the dying of Jesus Christ. What limitless love. What limitless love. What limitless love. God is wanting to do good things for us. You see, Jesus taught us a lot about God, but one thing that he emphasized about God is that God is the Father. When you pray, he said, pray like this, Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's what Jesus Christ taught us. That's the formula he taught us. We start with Our Father, who is in heaven. He didn't teach us to start by, you know, all the great names of Jesus Christ, of God, because he has many great names. You see, as humans, we could not name God enough. We don't have the words that can describe him. So we came up with so many words. Some of them, God inspired them himself. We call him El Shaddai, Elohim, the God who is and who is to be, the self-existent one, the mighty one of Israel. But that's not what Jesus told us to pray to him about. He said, Our Father. Our Father. What that means is that we need to talk to God as a Father. Maybe we were raised by parents or fathers that were not approachable, and I know that very, very well. I've been raised by, you know, fathers that are not approachable. But Jesus is telling us we should approach our Father. We start the conversation with our Father. And Jesus Christ himself is a personification of God, our Father. Psalm 68, 4 to 6 says, Sing to God, sing in praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him. His name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads us out, he leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. How do you think about God? He is the father to the fatherless. Yeah, maybe God is working things through you, and it sometimes can be very painful because he's also a loving God, but he also requires that we be disciplined. He also requires for us to be corrected. A child that is not corrected has a very difficult future. The Bible is very clear. You know, growing up in an African family, it could be quite different, right? Especially my, you know, in those days, because our parents took very literally when it says, spare the rod and spoil the child, they took it very literally. And it meant everywhere, they took every word of it, and the rod was not spared. Now, we didn't grow up with being traumatized. That's why you can see a fine man standing before you this morning. I was a product of that rod. And I appreciate the rod now. You know, I don't know. You see, the African mothers are very different. My sister is smiling. If I ask the children, they would know. African mothers, they can tell you everything by the look they give you. So when you are in public, you make sure you behaved. You know. And, you know, it was never fun going in public with your parents, for me, growing up. It wasn't. Because you could not guarantee legislate for everything. No matter how well you behaved, there might be just Johnny or Sarah somewhere out that's going to be misbehave, who you are not related to. Because our parents did proactively punish us, just in case you were thinking of doing it. So you're in public and little Johnny is there and misbehaving, and your mom looks at you and says, "You see that? If you ever embarrass me like that." And then she starts whooping you in public, like, "But I didn't do anything." Like, yeah, just in case you are thinking about that. No, we weren't abused. We were raised right. You know, we learned. So you prayed, every time you go out, you prayed like, "Please, please, let there not be a misbehaving child out there." So we became the police of ourselves. We policed ourselves. What's the image of God that we have? Do you have as this authoritarian father that speaks very harshly? Do you have the image of him as this alcoholic father who doesn't care? An absentee father who is never there? A father that, you know, beats, abuses everyone? How do you see God the Father? C.S. Lewis said, "How we think of God is of no importance than what God thinks of us. How God sees me is more important than the view of how others see me." All God wants us to know is that He loves us. That you are loved. Because you are wonderfully and fearfully made. He says, "I know the hair, the count of your hair, strands on your head." I mean, how many of us, maybe I can probably count myself because I don't have a lot of hair. But how many, those of you that have a lot of hair now left, how much hair do you have? Now visualize that for a second. God knows the exact count, not less, not more. Exact count. That's how God knows us. Because He knitted us in our mother's womb. Before the foundation of the earth, He knew you are going to be there. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? That we know that we have a Father that loves us. In spite of the weaknesses of our earthly fathers, we know that our Father in heaven loves us. You see, we read the story of the prodigal son in the book of Luke. He went before his father and says, "Give me all my inheritance." Before his time, he demanded it. The father said, "Here you go." You went away and squandered everything. He squandered his inheritance. He became a beggar. He started living a life of less than the servants in his father's home. How many of us do that? God wants us to come back. And the beauty of that, of this parable when Jesus taught it, was, you know, not so much of the rebellion, because rebellion is there. We all have rebelled because we've all fallen and we've come short of the glory of God. So rebellion is there. We've all gone our different ways. But the beauty of this is a restoration. You see, the father, before even the son got near, he saw him far away. As a good, loving father, he welcomed him with great love, without any questions asked. That's how God the Father wants to welcome us back. No questions asked. He says, "Come, my daughter. Come, my son. I will love you. I will restore you to who you're supposed to be, irrespective of the time that has passed." And we're not saying that the scars are going to go away. No, no, no. Those scars will remain, but the healing is going to be complete. The healing is not going to be halfway. The healing will be complete healing. That's why it says, "Those that are heavily burdened, come unto me. Cast your burden onto Jesus' feet." So you can receive complete and full healing, not half. complete. Complete. The scars will be there. The scars will become a testimony where you can say, you see these scars? This is what I went through. But you see where I am now? This is where God has brought me through. This is where God has brought, because I've been restored and I've been recovered into the love of the Almighty. The question is, are we going to receive that love? Don't limit yourselves. Don't limit ourselves because the experiences that we've gone through. Receive the love of God today. Receive the love of God this morning. Some of us, might be a journey that we have to go through. I'm not saying we're going to ignore and shove things under the rug. No, we have to deal with this because these pains and hurts are real. They didn't just happen. They are real. But Jesus Christ is saying, come unto me. Come unto me, and I'll make you whole. Come unto me, and you'll be restored. Come unto me and experience the love I have for you. Would you respond to God this morning? Would you respond to your Father this morning? Say, yes, I am going to accept that love that you so freely give. I'll ask the praise team to start making their way forward, please. You know, are you going to say, I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready for you. I'm ready to receive that love. I want to experience how good you are. No matter how bad my father was or has been, I want to experience your goodness. I want to experience the promises that you have for me. I want that love. Not part of it, but all of it. Would you receive that love this morning? Let's worship.
Thanks for listening. We hope you can join us next week. Have a blessed week.